The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
You expressed an optimism that kind of surprised me earlier today in believing that the relationship has changed. You referred to and referenced the fact that for the first time in 47 years, America is going directly to the leadership there,
correct,
including hardliners and the more political aligned. That's true.
We've never had this level of direct communication with the Iranian leadership. Of course, the previous generations of Iranian leadership are largely gone thanks to what's happened over the last few months. But there's something else that's interesting, Sean. You talk about hardliners and moderates. What's fascinating to me about their system is that we're seeing even people that I would have assumed are hardliners who are kind of saying, you know what, maybe it was a mistake for us to do the things that we've done over the last 40 years. Maybe we should turn over a new leaf in the relationship with the United States of America.
I mentioned Iran. We appreciate the relationship we've had over the short period of time with Iran. The primary thing, it's, you know, we can talk about the Iran deal all day long, but we're not investing any money. We have the right to if we want, but we're not investing any money. We didn't pay for it like Obama did. He paid billions of dollars. He paid $1.7 billion from an airplane, all green cash. It was crazy. I watched that. I couldn't believe it. But the one thing that's happening that's of note, frankly, the only thing that really matters to me, is Iran will never have a nuclear weapon. And it says it loud and clear. Now, you talk about regime change. I never cared about regime change. It's never a part. But I guess you have regime change because you know better than anybody. The first group, they're all dead. The second group, they're dead. A part of the third group is gone. And we're dealing with people that I think are very rational people. I mean, they were nice to deal with. They were strong people, smart people. I think actually they're smarter than the first and second group. But they're not radicalized and they're, you know, looking to help their country.
No, George, it's not true. And I'd caution Lindsey Graham and anybody else not to believe the hardliner propaganda in Iran, but to believe what's actually in the agreement. But we'll be releasing the text this week. And what everybody will see is that Iran doesn't get a dime of money unless they perform their obligations. And the money that we're talking about is fundamentally sanctions relief. We're not giving them American money. Not a single dollar of American money will go to Iran. You know, you hear people compare this negatively or positively to the JCPOA of the Obama administration. There are all of these ways I could explain that this deal is fundamentally better for the American people than the JCPOA. But the fundamental difference is that the Gulf Coast Coalition, our Arab partners in the region, they hated the JCPOA because they felt that it emboldened Iran to be a bad actor. They love this deal because they feel that it's going to create a totally new dynamic in the Middle East. That's a great testament to what the president and the entire team has accomplished.
A lot to unpack there. The upside down world, how much J.D. Vance sounds like Ben Rhodes of 2013, 2014. You could go through those clips and, well, I played them there for you, but I could read them again to you. And it's almost every sentence is jaw-dropping and how much it sounds like the Obama administration. In some cases, as we'll go through here in a bit, it's worse. J.D. Vance, the previous iterations of Iranian leadership are largely gone. He's so fascinated by their system because suddenly these leaders have emerged and the IRGC, the terror group, that aren't radicalized, according to President Trump, that just want the best for their country, that are rational people, according to Donald Trump. We appreciate the relationship we have with them. They want to turn over a new leaf. These are quotes from the Trump administration, from the top of the Trump administration, the president and the vice president. It's just like Ben Rhodes and Rouhani. Well, the moderates are there. They want to make a new deal. You know, they just want what's best for their country. And if we can just get them some money, it's not American money. It's their money. It's the money that's been sanctioned. It's exactly how Obama and Ben Rhodes packaged that deal. J.D. Vance, we're not giving them American money. The region, they love this deal. It's going to create a new dynamic in the Middle East. What? The IRGC stays in power and now is going to get $300 billion. And they're very careful to say, well, that's not taxpayer money. That's money that Iran, it's Iran's money. We're going to lift the sanctions and, well, we're right back where we started. Is this not what Obama did? Even if the sunset clause and all of that came into effect, and I'll get to this in a little bit, just some of the whatever details there are to know of this detail or of this deal that are being made available, if any, it just kicks the can down the road again and then gives the regime, the radical regime, more money. It's like Mr. Fleury said on the show yesterday, everyone is wrong. Lee Smith, he compared J.D. Vance to Ben Rhodes. I wanted to start by reading this. Well, I'll welcome you, by the way. Hello. Welcome to the Trumpet Daily. I'm Sam Livingston. I will be your host for today's show. Any comments for the show, you can send those to td@thetrumpet.com. Thank you so much for joining us on this Tuesday morning. Of course, you can watch the live stream of the show on Rumble, YouTube, and thetrumpet.com. You can download it with any of the your favorite podcast app as well. I wanted to start with this article from Mr. Hilliker. This was back in January of this year. Is America about to strike Iran? And he says, Trump's ultimate aim is always the deal. Trump wants the deal. He doesn't want the forever war, even at the expense of not finishing the job. Mr. Hilliker says, this assumes good faith on the other side. Even from a murderous Islamo-fascist terror state. They want to make a deal, Trump told Axios about Iran on Monday. Now, this is when they were using the negotiation kind of as a stall tactic before the big bombing campaign started. I know so. They called on numerous occasions. They want to talk. The military's main purpose, this is Mr. Hilliker, the military's main purpose, even when force is used, is to jumpstart negotiation. This is still Mr. Hilliker. This is why the Trumpet remains confident that whatever happens, somehow Iran will remain radical enough and powerful enough to fulfill its prophesied role as the king of the South. As we wrote after this past summer's strikes, in the end, the way America handles Iran will be a powerful lesson in the danger of failing to deal completely with evil. So Iran will survive. That king of the South, radical Islam, headed up by Iran. And it looks like they're down and out. And you can be critical of Bible prophecy. But really, in this case, you just have to wait a couple of months. And now we're back to an Obama-type deal with the IRGC. Really is incredible. I'll go through some of these Trumpet articles from the past 2 years, from when Trump made that hostage deal, even before getting into office, with Witkoff going over and making Bibi and the Israelis meet on the Sabbath. And Mr. Gerald Fleury said that would plague President Trump's presidency. And now we're seeing more of this plague. Iran is going to survive. This radical regime is going to survive, and they're going to have an inflow of cash. Maybe not to expand into Syria, because we've seen, again, just how Trump is such a catalyst for all of these prophetic alliances. We've seen Syria fall out of the Iranian camp. We're seeing Lebanon fall out of that camp and moving into that Psalm 83 alliance and working more with Europe. But then that Daniel 11, 40 through 42, Iran is working with Ethiopia. They're working with Libya and Egypt. And they're going to expand, and they're going to have a lot of money now to do it. Before we get into a few of these stories, I wanted to just cover some of the U.S. news, because we're so proud Everybody in America is, well, at least on the Republican side, is so excited again. Well, we've got this great deal. President Trump is a great deal maker. America's back. The stock market, the Iranians successfully used that as leverage to basically ensure their survival. The stock market is reaching new highs. There was the miracle at the UFC event where there was supposed to be swarms of mosquitoes and gnats and thunderstorms, and the storms parted for Trump's birthday bash. And everybody looks at that and just thinks, well, God is with this administration. This was a Twitter account that has quite a few hundred thousand followers. They wrote, something miraculous is happening in the United States and the world thanks to the World Cup and the USA's 250th birthday. Everybody sees how wonderful the United States is because the World Cup is here. They write, I'm not quite sure what it is. I have to give it more thought. I think it has something to do with the world realizing that managed decline is not necessary. And I think it has something to do with more Americans not being afraid to be patriots about their nation and their culture. And there's an aspect of that that's true and right. But is it God's culture? Is it turning to God? As Mr. Fleury said yesterday, I mean, it's all in vain if it isn't. Another account, you know, responded to that post. Again, they've got a few hundred thousand followers. My theory is that the American empire is just getting started. U.S. has a stranglehold on space with SpaceX, and they go on to talk about all of these frontiers that the United States is leading in. Nobody brings up the sin question. Nobody brings up, well, are we turning to God? Is this a moral resurgence in the right way? It's about the World Cup. It's about the birthday bash. It's about the UFC miracle, the stock market, Venezuela, Cuba. You know, it is interesting just looking at ancient Israel. And God allowed Israel, when they split after King Solomon, I think it was about 220 years later after Solomon's reign, that Israel goes into captivity, the northern part of Israel, the lost 10 tribes. And God allowed them to survive there 220, 230 years. And some of the worst sins, God's very patient. But you look at, well, 250th birthday of the United States, and America is just filled with pride. And they're missing these massive stories that we'll cover in just a bit. Just a bit of a scripture blitz, as Mr. Fleury's been doing. Just on the topic of pride. And of course you want to be proud of your country for the right reasons. But you look at, and this is Pride Month, and people take great pride in sin, but really pride in anything that isn't God's culture, God's law, and God's way of life isn't going to bring success. Proverbs 16, verse 18. Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. And this is where America is at right now. This big celebration, this big party, looking to Donald Trump as the savior. Proverbs 11, verse 2, when pride comes, then comes shame, but with the lowly is wisdom. Where's the Abraham Lincoln level of humility, of fasting, declaring a national fast or a day of prayer? Well, I guess President Trump has said that. But again, it's just hollow religion. It's not real. Proverbs 15, verse 25. The Eternal will destroy the house of the proud, but He will establish the border of the widow. Proverbs 18, verse 12. Before destruction, the heart of man is haughty, and before honor is humility. Proverbs 29, 23. A man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. Is America being humble? Are we turning to God? You look at those events. You look at the great UFC miracle and what's being done on the front lawn of the United States. Is that really something that brings glory and honor to God? Watching human beings created in the image of God beat their faces in for sport? Luke 14, 11, for whosoever exalts himself shall be abased, and he that humbles himself shall be exalted, James 4:6. But he gives more grace. Wherefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace unto the humble. God resists the proud, that haughty spirit. And it's easy to look at the radical left, and of course, that pride and sin is disgusting. But you look at the conservatives, and like Mr. Fleury said, everyone is wrong, and everyone is so proud of what they're doing, so convinced that they're right. And no one is turning to God. No one is looking to the Bible and saying, well, what should we actually be doing? How do we actually deal with terrorists? How should we solve this problem? Getting back to this Iran deal, nobody even knows what it is. And that really says everything about it, because if it was as great as J.D. Vance says, well, they would release the terms of the Memorandum of Understanding, whatever that is. I don't know how binding that can be. So they haven't released the actual wording of the Memorandum of Understanding, but they have released a few talking points. I mean, it's so much like the Obama administration. You know, we'll give you the talking points. We'll talk to the blob media. That's what Ben Rhodes called them, because they take it all in. The average reporter is a 27-year-old. They don't know anything. They've never left Washington, D.C. We can tell them whatever we want. The talking points from the Memorandum of Understanding. Iran will never have a nuclear weapon. President Trump drew that line and enforced it when no other president would. President Trump ended the fighting on every front, including Lebanon. No forever war. So taking a jab at Israel, we'll get to that in a bit as well. The Strait of Hormuz is open again, free of charge. Iran's rewards come from its own unfrozen money, not from American taxpayers, and only after it performs. Obama never got a signed document. President Trump did, from strength after dismantling Iran's program. Again, but now you're going to give it all this cash, and if it behaves, quote unquote, for a few years, you're right back to where you started. I mean, in effect, it is a forever. It's been the forever war that America's been engaged in the longest, 47 years. They don't want to acknowledge that it's a war, but in Iran, it's been a war. Notice some of these conservative analysts, and Israel is furious about this deal. A lot of Jewish commentators are upset. A lot of commentators, the few that are remaining in the United States that like Israel, that see why Israel is important to the United States, they can't believe this is happening. You can play these next clips one after the other. These are just some commentators from Fox News talking about how this, well, we don't even know what's in the deal, so it's hard to debate about it. But just on the surface, if they're not releasing it, it can't be that good. And based on the talking points, when you get into the practicalities of it, well, how is this actually going to happen? This is clips 6, 8, and 9.
But I can't square some of the things that are coming out of the administration from reliable sources. That's what I find so disturbing. When I heard it from the Iranians, Sean, I dismissed it. I said, that's the same nonsense we're always hearing. Well, but when I hear from administration sources some of the things that you have heard of what's in this deal, that makes no sense whatsoever. It's not defensible. I think what the president should do is just let's release it and let people see what's out there so we stop debating about something none of us has seen.
This deal and everything that we know about it, to the degree that it is being spun in public by this, and behind the scenes by the administration, everything about this deal seems bad to me. It all seems bad. It all seems like a setback. It doesn't seem like it meets any of the measures that the president actually put out there of his goals when it came to this conflict. And look, at some point, this Republican Party needs to decide which kind of foreign policy it's going to have. Is it going to be an America first foreign policy, one that is bold, that uses American power in key moments decisively in order to affect what it wants to achieve? Or are we going to just backslide into being some kind of hillbilly Obama kind of GOP? That is not something that is acceptable to me. It should not be acceptable to Republicans, and it should not be acceptable to any conservative who is interested in the success of America going forward.
You can't have a nuclear deal for 10, 20 years, similar to the JCPOA. Well, and the funding is real. There's a $300 billion investment fund. Who cares where the money comes from? If it doesn't come from the United States, I get that. Of course it shouldn't. But it shouldn't come from anybody. I mean, when we recovered Germany and Japan, the Nazis weren't in charge. The Japanese imperialists weren't in charge. Here, the Iranians are in charge. The killers and thugs are still in charge. We don't give them that money because what are they going to do with it? They're going to recover everything we've taken away from them. Who cares whether it's coming from the Arabs, from the Qataris or whatever? They don't get it. They shouldn't get any of it. That's just the reality of it. They're going to take that money and recover everything. And you know that, Sean. You know that you can't trust these people.
I don't trust the Iranians. I'm a trust but verify guy. But I heard the vice president say they don't get anything unless they do those things. They get nothing until they do something. It's not our money. And they never signed off, he said, on any deal for Qatar to give them a penny. Now, he said they would open the door if Arab countries want to invest down the road, but that's if they start fulfilling the promises that they're talking about having committed to. Listen, you know what, General? I think that Reagan had the best line of all, trust but verify.
We may be dealing with different people after we killed the Ayatollah and 40 of his leaders, but they're still diabolically, ideologically committed to who they are and what their goals are. They'll sign something to be sure. They want to survive, recover, rebuild, and then they will try to reverse the deal. That is who they are. That's the reality of what we're dealing with.
It's amazing how the Trump administration is just happy to be played, happy to be duped by the IRGC. Well, they said some nice words. They really want to get along. They're rational people now. They want what's best for their country. The same regime that has no problem slaughtering 40,000 people in the streets when they protest. We're dealing with the same people. It's like dealing with Hamas. Well, you have to wipe them out. And to Israel's credit, they want to go and do that. And now they're being held back by the United States. But here, President Trump, J.D. Vance, I mean, it's humiliating watching J.D. Vance run to all the stations, just like the Obama administration, just like Ben Rhodes. We got to get on all the networks. We got to go make sure the message is said over and over again, trust but verify. How did it get here that you've got President Trump, who was attacked by Obama, attacked by the radical left, thinking the same way? Well, it goes back to the scripture blitz. That pride warps the mind. And you look at now to they're at the point where they're going to deal with terrorists. And they'll kick Israel off to the side. Kick Bibi off to the side. Trust but verify. I'm a trust but verify guy. I mean, that was handy. That's what Obama said. And to Trump's credit, I mean, they have bombed Iran. And that's good. But if you're not going to finish the job, well, we're right back to where we started. I mean, Obama, he had the propaganda campaign. He wanted to make a deal. He said Rouhani was a moderate and then send over the pallets of cash. Trump, to his credit, showed some force and bombed Iran. But then in the end, you're right back to where Obama was at the end of the JCPOA. Well, the IRGC survives. They're going to get a bunch of cash. And rebuild it back 5, 6, 7 years. I mean, it's going to be a forever war if you don't want to finish the job and take them out. President Trump says, well, the goal is just they don't get to be a nuclear power. Okay, well, if that is the case, then you're going to be in a forever war of constantly having to just do bombing campaigns every couple of months. But then again, just being duped by, well, they said that they want what's best for their country. They seem different. This new group, they're rational. I mean, just being played. It's humiliating watching J.D. Vance, watching Trump go over there and say all these things. The regime stays intact. And President Trump, I mean, he worships the deal. It's like Mr. Hilliker said, in that January 2026 article, Trump's ultimate aim is always the deal, making a deal, not a forever war, and then he claims victory and then wants to walk away from the whole thing. And as Mr. Fleury has said before, I mean, this shows Germany what not to do. And it's why Bible prophecy says the king of the north comes against the king of the south like a whirlwind. They're not going to mess around. They're not going to have limited warfare when it comes to finally confronting the king of the south. This is the New York Times. Iran will enter nuclear talks feeling emboldened. Despite military setbacks during the war, Tehran is presenting a narrative of victory before negotiations with Washington. This is not unconditional surrender. They see that their little bit of leverage worked. If they can just hold out and they can put these drones on the back of pickup trucks and drive them down to the Strait of Hormuz and launch them at ships indiscriminately, the insurance companies won't pay for the boats. Effectively, the strait is closed. It doesn't take a lot to upset the U.S. markets. And President Trump showed him, yeah, you've got that power now. It really doesn't take a lot to push the United States around. Washington Post, Trump sought to break Iran's regime. He settled for reopening Hormuz. The emergent agreement ends a costly war but leaves Iran's leadership intact and its nuclear future still subject to negotiation. Victory, again, for the regime is just surviving. And they've survived. Again, at best, this is just delayed it a little bit. But now they're talking about Iran as if they're right back in the international community, as if the 1979 revolution never happened. The Shah's back. I mean, that's the way they're talking. As if this is a great U.S. ally again. You see just so many prophecies in that He Was Right booklet. America has won its last war. There's this big show of force, but then lose patience, lose the will to finish the job. Here's another clip from J.D. Vance, again, trying to sell the deal, sell it the way Ben Rhodes had to go out and sell it. This is clip 7.
Agent Jake, for 47 years, this country has been a thorn in our side. It's been kind of a basket case for Democrat and Republican administrations. The coolest thing about the progress we've made over the last few weeks is that you see people within the Iranian system, senior leadership, even IRGC officials say, you know what? We may have some animosity, we may have some mistrust, but we recognize the way that we've done business with the United States for 47 years is a mistake. Let's try something else. We're going to verify that, of course, but we're certainly willing to try something else if they comply. The president saying to them, we're extending an open hand. If you guys want to meet us, if you guys want to change your relationship with the United States, we will change our relationship with Iran. That's the offer, and we're going to have to see whether they meet us there.
Again, it's embarrassing. That's humiliating. Even the way that he's talking, the coolest thing that came out of this was that we're making friends. They really seem to like us now. That's really cool. In dealing with this radical regime that funded October 7, 2023, killed hundreds of U.S. troops, thousands with IEDs, funds terrorism around the world. The coolest thing of it is we're getting over there and we're going to get them some money and we're all going to be best friends. We recognize the way that we've done business with the U.S. has been a mistake. Let's try something else. That's the way Trump and J.D. Vance think the IRGC is thinking. How is it so easy to dupe the descendants of ancient Israel? America, Britain, we'll just take your word for it. We're going to trust you. Ignore the fruits. Ignore the track record. It's really cool. That's the coolest thing of it, is it seems like they really want to get along with us. I need to be careful making fun of the words that they choose. But I mean, in that context, you don't want to laugh. I mean, it's sad looking at what they're doing. Iran holds the line. The religious fanatics survive. And President Trump, I mean, what it takes to get them to move, well, it's the midterms are coming up. Oil prices are a little high. I want NBC to like me. I want Kristen Welker to not scowl at me. And then, of course, pride. all of these things, Iran just, all they had to do was survive. And it took a couple of months. And here we are with a memorandum of understanding that nobody understands, that nobody gets to read. They say they're going to release it on Friday, I guess. And the problem persists. Here's another one from, you can play these two together as well, clip 11 and 13 from J.D. Vance.
Now, back on March 6th, about a week into the war, President Trump put out a post on Truth Social saying there will be no deal with Iran except unconditional surrender. So why did he reverse course and agree to this deal now?
Well, George, I don't think he reversed course. I think fundamentally the president's argument was we are going to use the military to exert pressure on Iran, and we're going to get something that is good for the American people, and now we have that. But this is a big day for the American people, a big win for everybody who cares about basic peace and stability in the Middle East. But what we fundamentally believe is that this is going to be a good deal for the people of Israel, for the people of the Gulf, the people of America, and again, potentially for the people of Iran as well. There's a lot of misreporting. I've seen this in the Israeli media about what's actually in the deal. I think when the people of the region see what's in the deal and see the kind of commitments the president of the United States is making, they're going to see this is good for everybody. Peace and prosperity is good for everybody. That's true for Israel. It's true for Saudi Arabia and UAE and Qatar. That's the kind of deal that we're striking. Yeah, it's going to require some engagement. Yes, you're going to have people within the Israeli system who are skeptical from time to time. That's the work of diplomacy, and we're going to keep on doing it, George.
It's stunning how often this administration has, we have eternal peace. How often they say, these big, bold claims for the Middle East, and yet there's still war. This is a big win for everybody who cares about basic peace and stability in the Middle East. You know, if we can just have some more money, or we can get them some more money, they'll come to see that, you know, the Western way is great, and they'll love us. We're just totally ignorant of the enemy that we're up against. It's amazing. You study Old Testament Israel, and you see the same characteristics, the same qualities. Well, we'd rather trust in the words of our enemy, the flattering words of an enemy, than rely on God. Proof, the blessings and the curses are proof of the descendants or where Israel went, where those lost 10 tribes are. The United States and Britain in prophecy, of course, request that if you haven't. This is another quote from Mr. Hilliker. Is Iran's regime finished? This is February 2026. Trump has shown himself willing to use American force in short, sharp bursts, but it will take more than that to reshape Iran's role in the Middle East and worldwide. And the president has no intention of embroiling the U.S. in a protracted effort to do that. He has been fiercely critical of America's failures in Afghanistan and Iraq, and he knows that Americans have no stomach for adding Iran to that list. Even taking out Khomeini is not enough of itself to fundamentally change Iran's role. It is worth remembering how the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan started, with shocking, awesome displays of American firepower that rapidly deposed oppressive and unpopular regimes. These articles are incredible to read, and they're not that old. It's a few months back, talking about pretty much, well, this is how it's going to go. And it's all based on Bible prophecy. Will we see another premature declaration of victory from President Trump? Israel wanted to finish the job, but the U.S. held it back. And finally, Israel, little Israel, is doing what it had been so scared to do for so long and seeing it's not that hard. The losses aren't that great to actually go and destroy Hamas, to go and fight Hezbollah, to confront Iran, even. And yet the United States tells them, well, Israel is the one getting in the way to eternal peace. It's the Jews. It's Bibi. You could have this enemy wiped out and actually bring peace, probably not eternal peace, but more peace and stability to this area than what another Iran deal will bring. Mr. Hilliker says it is unclear exactly how this situation will play out. Often events take turns very different from what we expect, but biblical prophecy is clear about the outcome. As impressive as Israel's accomplishments have been, And as much as one may wish to see the demise of this violent, oppressive regime, somehow Iran is going to preserve its considerable power as well as its extremist temperament and aspirations. Just wait. And in this case, wait a few more months to see Bible prophecy, the accuracy of Bible prophecy. And people put their own timetable on things. Well, how is this going to work out? Iran's not going to be the king of the South anymore. Look what's happening. They put their own time constraints on things, and really just be patient. Wait. And in this case, you could go back to what Mr. Fleury said about President Trump and people criticizing that. Well, it was 4 years and President Trump's back. 4 years is not really a long time. In this case, we're talking about 3 or 4 months. Mr. Hilliker, in that same article, we may even see someone take power who seems more amenable to the West, someone willing to hold talks, to negotiate, to profess cooperation, and to make ostensible concessions. This may provide a strategic window for him to construct that prophesied new coalition. Again, just talking about the leader of the King of the South. Prophecy shows that the recent offensive against Iran will fail to eliminate the threat. It also shows that this failure will serve as a potent example to another power on how to attack Iran and succeed. So if you want to defeat Iran, well, you can start with the way President Trump started, but you've got to finish it. And who's going to do that? Well, Bible prophecy says it'll be the King of the North. You could say, in a sense, that this deal that President Trump is doing is a fulfillment of Bible prophecy in that sense. I mean, it's all playing in to these prophetic trends. I mean, all of this analysis that Mr. Hilliker put in that article, it's based on Bible prophecy. Lee Smith has an article, Donald Trump's pallets of cash, another president chooses surrender. Thus, it seems that what Trump has frequently called the worst deal ever negotiated and has identified for more than a decade as Exhibit A, in the case against American loserdom, has now become the pattern of his own Iran policy. And like Obama's, the plan is to gorge the IRGC with money and pave the way to a nuclear bomb while restraining Israel from responding to missile attacks by Iran and its proxies for the sake of what it euphemistically calls regional order. Israel's the new enemy now. Israel has to back off. Israel's the reason the war is happening. If Israel didn't exist, well, the Arabs would all just live peacefully. They would never fight. There'd be no war. It's the Jews' fault. And they're always held to a different standard. And you see President Trump taking on more of that sort of thinking. And it's that sort of thinking that Mr. Fleury talked about in that article he wrote when President Trump accepted the gift of the Boeing 747 from Qatar, taking gifts from terrorists and opening up. What that does to your mind when you start working with evil, I'll get to the quotes if I have time. President Trump is in France now. He left right after the UFC fight, the UFC miracle flight where the clouds parted and the terrorist attack was thwarted. And everything is just working for the United States so that it can hold an event where we watch human beings beat each other up. So he gets off, he leaves that, he gets on the flight, he's at the G7. I think this is some of the first person that he's meeting with is the leader of Qatar. Best friends from Qatar, the nation that sponsors Hamas. Here's some of what President Trump said in that meeting, clip one.
Mr. President, what are the expectations for Israel? Can this deal survive if Israel attacks Lebanon?
It can, and you know, I consider that the minor war, the Iran's a big one, but we have that a little pinprick out there that constantly rears its head, and that's Hezbollah. And you know, I was very responsible for Syria, and the man that's running Syria now is a person that I put there along with President Erdogan and some others. He's done an amazing job of pulling it together. He's not a Boy Scout. But he's done an amazing job of pulling it together. And he is very good with Hezbollah, does not like them. And I'll tell you what, Israel's fighting Hezbollah too long, and too many people are being killed. And you don't have to knock down an apartment house every time you're looking for somebody, because there are a lot of people in those apartment houses, and they're not all Hezbollah, that I can tell you. And I suggested to Israel to let Syria take care of Hezbollah, because to be honest with you, I think they'd do a better job of doing it.
That is, it's jaw-dropping. Let Syria take care of them. Syria is led by a jihadi, by a terrorist that was part of the group that bombed the United States on 9/11, or attacked the United States on 9/11. Israel, our closest ally, is ready to fight. That lion-like mentality in Netanyahu, he's ready to finally fight these terror groups. And President Trump says, I think Syria would do a better job. You see how much he empowers these alliances with Psalm 83, with Syria and Germany. I mean, the goal of that group, as it says, you can read it for yourself, is to erase the name of Israel. And President Trump says they'd really do a better job. Just a few months ago, they were at war. Not at war, but there was that whole skirmish where they were attacking and basically went through this town, and it was an October 7 level attack. Rape, murder of innocent civilians. And here Israel, of course there's going to be the occasional civilian that's going to be killed, goes out of its way to just kill terrorists. And here President Trump says, I don't like the way they do that. You know, you don't have to bomb a whole apartment complex. I mean, he sounds just like all of the pro-Palestinian protesters that wear the scarves and get out there and say, well, the United States hit an elementary school in Iran. Glenn Greenwald can't let that go. So I guess the whole war shouldn't happen. You let them have a nuke. Let them erase countries from the map because a few civilians died in a war. Totally different standard applied to the Jews. Let Syria handle it, he says. You know, why does that whole apartment building have to come down? He doesn't like the way the Jews are handling it. And he says, we're getting along just fine with Bibi, but you can't trust anything he says anymore. Because, well, look at the fruits. Who's he dealing with? Who is he making the deals with? Who does he want to sit down with when he goes over, before he's inaugurated? He doesn't want to visit with Netanyahu. He wants to visit with the Qataris. This is clip two.
I didn't like Syria. I didn't like where 2 hours before we're signing the agreement that there was an attack in Lebanon, in Beirut. It was right there. It wasn't like in the southern side, and you know, it was in Beirut. I did not like that. I let them know that. If Israel can't do the job without killing everyone else, he'll do the job. Syria will do the job.
Are you frustrated with Netanyahu, sir?
No. We had a great relationship. We're talking about some end details. I didn't like that he did an attack based on a, you know, there's a very minor little thing with some drones that were released, and he ends up doing a very, I saw that attack. I saw where that bomb went. Did you see what happened? That was too much. You know, you can do too much also. But we've had a very effective relationship. Without us, without the United States, there would be no Israel. Without me, there would be no Israel, because no other president was willing to do what I did. I've had a great relationship with Bibi, but now Bibi has to be more responsible with respect to Lebanon.
Bibi is trying to fight Hezbollah and destroy Hezbollah. If Israel can't do the job without killing everyone else, he'll do the job. Talking about the leader of Syria. And how well has that worked for the United States to go into a terrorist nation effectively and say, we're going to go to Afghanistan and, hey, we're going to build up the Afghan army Taliban takes over in 3 days. Tried it in Iraq. I guess we want to do it in Syria and Lebanon now. When you have Israel, the lion, that wants to finally destroy these groups, President Trump says they're doing it wrong. We actually want the terrorist group to go and fight the other terror group. Because when the Jews get involved, it just, everybody gets mad. You know, just let the Muslims fight the Muslims. And really, if the Jews aren't there, everybody's going to get along. We could have eternal peace. It's amazing watching this unfold. It's amazing seeing the transformation of President Trump's mind over the last decade. And you look at, like what we talked about at the start, just that prideful mind, that haughty spirit. Here's another one from Trump's meeting with the leader of Qatar, clip 3.
So, I'm not happy with the way Israel has handled themselves with Lebanon and with Hezbollah. They should have been able to do the job faster. It just goes on forever. And when that happens, it throws a negative light on the big deal, and that's the deal with Iran. So, when you ask me about Bibi, an unbelievable relationship. But Israel would have been blown up a long time ago had I not gotten involved.
It throws a negative light on the big one, the deal. The deal that we want with Iran. Because Iran just got to decide what the conditions are and said, we're not going to have a deal if Israel is attacking Hezbollah in Lebanon. So now that makes the Jews the bad guys for defending themselves against a terror group. And then, well, it just goes on forever. Well, not if you actually destroy them. But the way that he wants to wage war, the way the United States does, it does go on forever. Because we want to make a deal. We want to deal with terrorists. And then he goes on and just talks about how great the Qataris are, how wonderful they've been in all the deal making. Ignore the whole Hamas funding thing. Mr. Fleury, in this article, July 2025, Don't Accept Gifts from Terrorists, talks about how the Qataris worked with Hamas. He says the Qataris are not offering Trump a plane because they love him. They hate him and everything he stands for. These Muslims want everybody to serve their God their way, and they use force to achieve that. They want to take over America and kill non-believers. Why is President Trump cozying up to them? It seems he is now negotiating with anyone in many ways. He is caving in. And who will say that to President Trump? I mean, this is Mr. Gerald Fleury and delivering a warning from God boldly, saying it like it is. President Trump is open to working with evil people, thinks that he is changing their hearts, thinks that he can say, well, they're rational people now. It's really cool. The coolest thing of it is that they all just want to be our friends. And Mr. Fleury goes on and says, if you start opening your mind to working with people like that, well, it's a slippery slope. Just more from his article. God warns, this is Mr. Fleury, enter not into the path of the wicked and go not in the ways of evil men. Avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it and pass away. King David wrote, blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. He that works deceit shall not dwell within my house. He that tells lies shall not tarry in my sight. Even the way he talks there about, well, Bibi and I are great friends. And then on one side of his mouth is praising him, and out the other side is just, I hate the way they're doing this. They're getting in the way. Mr. Fleury says, these terrorists are also liars who will flatter and say whatever is expedient to accomplish their aims. Pretty obvious, pretty simple. If you have a rational thinking mind, if you have a mind that is thinking along the lines of God's law and God's way, easy to see that. But you look at the way the politicians think, you look at the way our leaders think, and it's a curse. These terrorists are also liars who will flatter and say whatever is expedient to accomplish their aims. And J.D. Vance just laps it up. The coolest thing is, Proverbs 17, verse 4 warns, a wicked doer gives heed to false lips. We must not have anything to do with such people, Mr. Fleury writes. Jesus Christ warned of people following the devil, who was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Mr. Fleury says, when people follow Satan, he draws them into murder and deceit. Is it wise to try to negotiate with the devil? It gets worse. On his trip to the Middle East in May, President Trump visited Qatar as well as Saudi Arabia and the UAE, but he purposely skipped visiting Israel and Netanyahu. Netanyahu knows what the Qataris are all about. He's trying to get President Trump to see that, but it has not worked. And then he talks about President Trump trying to cozy up to the terrorists, and he says, this is madness. This is evil. And once you open yourself up to evil, it leads to worse and worse things. Bible prophecy shows specifically what is coming. It leads to worse and worse things. And Mr. Fleury said it before Trump was inaugurated. This is going to plague his presidency. And you can celebrate all the UFC fight miracles. Call it that if you want, quote unquote, miracles. You can celebrate the stock market. You can talk about all the great things that are happening. And then the stories that America ignores are the things that, well, it's getting worse and worse. 2 Timothy 3, it's getting worse and worse. President Trump will listen to anybody except Israel. They'll try anything. They'll deal with anyone except, of course, even dealing with Israel isn't the answer. You've got to deal with God. You've got to go and work with God. So many of these articles, I don't have time to get through all of them, but if you want, go back and read them. Just from the last 2 years, if you go to The Trumpet and you can keyword search Gerald Fleury, Iran, this other one is a smaller or shorter article, Ignoring General Flynn by Mr. Gerald Fleury, talks about how he's ignoring the advice of one of his best advisors about how to wage war in the Middle East. Mr. Stephen Fleury has an article, A Terrorist in the White House, talking about President Trump inviting these individuals in. I didn't have time to get to this article at the Telegraph. War of broken promises leaves Israel weakened and despondent. Well, what was it all for if we're not going to finish the job? It says, with young Israeli conscripts still deployed in Lebanon, Gaza, the West Bank, and Syria, no one is celebrating Trump's peace deal with Iran. They write, the rally in the world's stock markets as Iran promised to release its chokehold on the Strait of Hormuz and the wider world economy only made matters worse, implicitly confirming the power of Israel's arch enemy. Controlling that strait gives them power, and President Trump has proved it. I mean, in some ways you could say, well, they don't even need the nuclear bombing. They still are going to want that and go after that, but well, we can just fire a few drones into the Strait of Hormuz, and we can bring down the great United States. Oh, a couple stories. Maybe I could just mention the titles of them, and you can look them up on your own. But in the context of just how many stories the United States, the American people are missing as they celebrate all of these things and as they're full of pride. This was at Fox News. Germany pledges to build Europe's strongest army as NATO allies answer Trump pressure. New York Times, Germany and Japan are rearming again 80 years after World War II. I mean, these are headlines that people mocked Mr. Armstrong and Mr. Fleury over, and now they're in Fox News and the New York Times. Again, if you haven't read The United States and Britain and Prophecy, I encourage you to go and read that. You could read America Under Attack and Great Again just to get some more of the context about the Trump administration. All of our literature is free. I am out of time. Thank you very much for joining us on this episode of The Trumpet Daily. Again, send any feedback that you have to td@thetrumpet.com, and we will see you again tomorrow.